Amen. Well, I want to invite you to turn probably to page 2 in your Bible. Should be easy to find today. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to pick up the seventh day today. But have you ever had one of those moments where you think you need to tell somebody something, like give them a word of encouragement, teach them a lesson? I don't mean that in a negative way, in a positive way. And then all of a sudden something happens to you and you need to learn the same lesson? Well, that's today for me today. It's amazing how every time I come to speak about rest or being in God's presence, the prior week or two or ten seem to be filled with nuttiness. And so just to give you an example, maybe you can identify with my life over the last few weeks. Well, last weekend, we had an amazing men's retreat. If you weren't there, don't miss the next one, men. It was a great time. We were supposed to go to Camp Choye up in Livingston. God decided to let it rain for days, and it flooded. So we moved to the luxurious Family Life Center. And so I had a great time upstairs in our student area, learning and growing. I'd actually had a wedding last weekend as well. We got through the men's retreat, then of course Sunday morning, then the business meeting afternoon, which if you weren't here, you missed chips and salsa and queso. So come to the business meetings, people. I almost told you at the end of the service last week, there might be a surprise. Well, there was a surprise, chips and queso on Cinco de Mayo. So we had that, then a grad party afterwards. Then Monday morning, I got up. Brandy took me to get a rental car. I drove to Dallas, was in Dallas for training Monday and Tuesday, drove back to Friendswood Tuesday night. I got up, left here 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, drove to College Station. I got to watch the great Friendswood High School tennis team participate in the regional tennis tournament. Everyone did really well, and it was a lot of fun. And then drove back that night. Thursday morning, I think that was the right day. Thursday morning, I waited for our middle son, Evan, some of you know him, to come. It's our neighbor. And literally. He drove here. We got his oil changed, his tires rotated. We packed, and then we drove to Dallas, where I had just been on Monday and Tuesday. Drove to Dallas, spent the night in Dallas, got up the next morning, drove to Oklahoma City so we could get him settled in for his internship this summer at a very high-end, swanky golf and country club. That's going to be his job all summer. Some of us have to have a cool life. So did that, got him settled in, had to do some shopping. You know how it is when you're trying to get your kids settled in, some shopping. He needed some clothes, some food, all that. I fly back here yesterday afternoon. And thanks to Brandy and Tate and Teresa for ordering all that. Brandy and Tate put together our Mother's Day thing. And then that night, we said, hey, let's add some balloons. So at 9:30 last night, we were up here adding balloons to our Mother's Day. So if you're a mom today, you better get your photo taken, okay? Just kidding, just saying that. So then I'm here today. Hey. And it doesn't end, right? Tomorrow we have an end-of-year tennis banquet, graduation stuff, a lot of grad parties here from people in this room, and other things. And life is nonstop. And Brandy, some of you know her, sitting in the front row here, her life is just as fun and exciting. Managing our preschool, these days making 1,000 dozen cookies, do the math on that. Going to College Station, being the tennis mom, which means snacks and waters and buying t-shirts and ordering t-shirts and setting up for a banquet. Like, life is chaotic and crazy and challenging. And here we are today, about to read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, which talk about rest. The first time I ever preached on the subject of rest was August of 2001, and you might say, okay, that's pretty specific. And the reason why I know that is because in August of 2001, we were living in, well, I was living in Austin, and Brandy was living in Fort Worth, Dallas-Fort Worth area. We weren't, our marriage was okay, but I had taken a position at a church, and she was pregnant with our oldest son, Reed, and still living and working there until he was born. And so on August 1st of 2001, I get a phone call very early in the morning. Hey, I don't know, something's not quite right. I called the doctor, I'm going to the doctor. Well, fast forward the story. Reed was born in Plano, Texas on August 1st, and I happened to be in Austin, Texas early that morning. I made it from Austin to Plano in record time in a 1990 Corolla with no air conditioning, driving 85 to 90 most of the way up the freeway. I only saw one policeman. The Lord was with me. I raised my Ebenezer. That Corolla has a special place in our family's life. It was my sister-in-law's first car, so that kind of tells you ministry is real high paying. Speaking of that, hey, our projector that hasn't been here is fixed. Yeah, so it's coming next week. So anyway, all that story to tell you that I remember the first time I preached on rest because our son was born. We didn't have a home. He left the hospital in Plano and drove to the Woodlands with he and Brandy. He didn't drive. but drove to the Woodlands because we didn't have a house. Our house wasn't ready for two more weeks. And I'm trying to start a ministry, figure out what we're going to do for our house, have a brand new kid, all those things. And at the same time, the church was doing some remodeling, and so our services were actually split. So we had two services going on at the same time in different parts of the campus. I preached one, and our senior pastor preached the other one. And lo and behold, that week after Reed was born, Matthew 11:28 is the passage. And if you don't have that memorized, it's come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the passage. Jesus is calling those who are weary and heavy laden. And so I remember the first time I ever preached on rest because I was exhausted, and it was crazy. And here we are again, preaching on rest, learning about rest with the week I've just had. So maybe today this message is for you because you've had a week like I've had. Or maybe next week's sermon will be for you. Or maybe one in 3 weeks or 3 months will be for you. But you're here today for a reason, and if you're here to celebrate your mom, God bless you. Thank you for loving and encouraging your mom. If you're here because this is where you normally show up on Sundays around 11, God bless you. But I want us to pay attention specifically today because this is day 7 of creation is a unique day. And it's one that I think we misunderstand, this whole idea of rest. We misunderstand it. So I pray today there'll be some clarity for us. So let's look at Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." This passage, if you haven't read it in a while or ever read it, it's pretty repetitive. It says the same thing in essence 3 times. And that's important because in ancient culture, they weren't a writing culture. They were a oral culture, a speaking culture. Most of the people couldn't read and write, and so they would say things. And how you remember things is by repeating them over and over again. It makes it easier to remember. And so this passage is written in a very repetitive style so that the Israelites would understand the importance, the significance of the seventh day. That word seven is an important word all throughout the Bible. It represents the covenant, the promise, the commitment that God has made to the people of Israel. It's actually closely related to the word swear. Now, not the way we use the word swear these days, like profanity and cussing. Swear is in the commitment. I swear this to be true. I promise. Yes, it is true. Those words are closely related to. That's why it's so important in the nation of Israel, because it's a covenant word. It's a word that demonstrates God's commitment to his people. And so there's something unique and special about the seventh day. Days 1 through 6 are unique and special, but there's something different about day 7. And so I just want to share a few things, just kind of get your mind around day 7. If you were here when we began this series, I encourage you, I challenge you to have this be a season where you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind is what I focused on, and strength. That we would engage our mind in understanding who God is more clearly. And so just some things to set your mind upon as we think about day 7. First, unlike days 1 through 6, there's no introductory statement. It doesn't say, "Then God said." God didn't speak anything into existence on day 7. There's no introductory remark. It's just day 7 happens. It also doesn't end the same way that days 1 through 6 end. If you'll notice, there's no statement that says, "And there was evening, and there was morning, the seventh day." It doesn't say that. And so some might wonder, and this is something for you to think about, maybe jot down and spend a lot of brain power later, how long was day 7? How long was it? Because it doesn't end. It doesn't say there was morning and evening day 7. So how long is day 7? Some would argue that maybe God intended for creation at this point to enter a perpetual state of rest. That it would always be at rest. That it would never be turmoil and chaos. There would never be a void. There would never be darkness and black. There would never be struggle. That they would creation would be in a constant state of rest, enjoying the presence of God. And then God says something very different about day 7 than he does the rest of the days of the week. The seventh day is the only day of the week that is blessed and consecrated by God. It's the only day that he says he makes it holy. He made it holy. He blessed it and he set it apart from the rest of the days of the week. Something is different and special about the seventh day, the day of rest. The other thing is that he repeats the seventh day 3 times. Now, we may think, oh, okay, well, that's so we all learn that it's the seventh day. But this is an important thing that there's some kind of emphasis on day 7 that's different than days 1 through 6, that he says seventh day 3 times, and he calls it twice. So 5 times in 3 verses, he actually refers to the day itself. That makes it different than the other days. And then finally, day 7 doesn't have a corresponding pair. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, I talked about days 1 through 3. They formed the heavens and the earth. Days 4, 5, and 6 filled the earth. There's forming and filling. Well, day 7 is by itself. It doesn't have a corresponding pair. It's different than every other day. And so this is how we might read it if we were looking at it very literally. I want to read for you what verses 1, 2, and 3 might look like, what sound like, if we were writing it literally from the Hebrew. "So God finished by the seventh day his work which he did. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he did. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work which God created to do." God finished, God rested, and God blessed this day differently than the other 6 days. Now we know that chapter 3 of Genesis kind of changes the whole trajectory of humanity. changes the trajectory of creation because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And so here we are in chapter 2 experiencing perfect creation. Everything is perfect in this moment. You ever been in one of those moments where it's like, this is perfect. It's perfect. Like I wouldn't change a thing. You ever had those moments? We're remodeling our building out here, the 209. You've heard me talk about it. I imagine we're going to really love it. But I can also imagine that there's going to be something like, I wish I'd have done that a little different. Like there's always that thing, but there's those rare moments where it's perfect. Like the painting is exactly level for 3 seconds. Yes. Right? There's something unique about being at perfect rest. And so here we are before the fall of man. The heavens and the earth are sanctified. They're at rest. It's the place to be. It's the place to be. But then, unfortunately, the fall of man happens. Adam and Eve sin, bringing sin and death into the world. And at that moment, rest no longer becomes sort of the natural state of being. Now, rest is something to be pursued. It's the goal. The goal is to find a place of rest. Why? Because Adam had to work all the time. He had to work before the fall, but it was different. He was at perfect peace with God. And so work was a blessing, an honor, a joy. But all of a sudden, after the fall, now work is, or rest is a goal that we've got to get to. If we work enough, if we do enough, if we're around enough, then we get to rest. And I think it's so important because if that weren't the case, rest wouldn't have made it in the greatest list of all time, the most famous list of all time. Rest wouldn't be in it if it wasn't a goal. But God feels so strongly about this idea of rest that he put it in the Ten Commandments. Not the Ten Suggestions, not the Ten, listen to these if you want to. The Ten Commandments. Look what he says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath. Sabbath means rest. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or female servant or your livestock or the sojourner, that's the guy passing through, who was within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. There it is again. God spends a lot of real estate in the scripture on rest in the Ten Commandments. It's a day that's holy, sanctified, set apart from common use. Do you have anything in your life that has been set apart from common use? That you hold in a special place? That you hold inside like, this is the thing. If you walk into my office today, as soon as you walk in, you'll notice it immediately. Well, hopefully you'll notice it immediately. On the right-hand side of my office, there's a beautiful handmade table that my father-in-law made for me specifically for this purpose. And on that table are now 3 objects. There used to just be 1, and then there was 2. Now there's 3. 3 objects that I've set apart, consecrated, apart from everything else in my office. All the cool stuff, books, and all those things are great, but these 3 items have been set apart. All 3 of them were gifts to me. 1 is especially consecrated, set apart. It's in a glass case, protected from the elements of 111 East Heritage and all the beauty of the aging of a building. And it's in there. And then there's an item below at the bottom that's used and worn and beautiful. And there's another item that's blue and has a decal on the side. It was a great gift, a big surprise to me. That top thing, the thing that's been consecrated the most, is a helmet, a football helmet, something of very little value, truthfully, on its own. The thing that adds value to it in some circles would be the three of the five signatures on it. There are five signatures on it. Three of the five add value to it. I pray the other two don't take value away. I don't think they do, but the signatures are of Vince Young, Colt McCoy, and Major Applewhite. And for a few of you, you recognize those names. For the rest of you, you're like, see, no value. Why would you consecrate that thing? I've set it apart because it has value, not just monetary value. It has value for me, sentimental value. And then below is a base from the Houston Astros during their 50th season. Third base, to be exact, because it's written on the bottom. Third base. Written on the bottom. And then in front of that, just last year I received another helmet from the Friendswood Mustangs, signed by all the current players. I've set these things apart to be special and different than the rest of the surroundings of my office. And so I wonder, what are the things in your life that you've set apart that are different, that are important? I pray that it's not football helmets and baseball bases. I pray that you've set apart a time every week where you can rest, where you can settle, where you can enjoy the presence of God. Because rest is less about taking naps and more about enjoying the peace of God. Unfortunately, that's what we equate rest to most of the time. We equate rest with a nap. Now, moms, feel free to take a nap today. Like, hey, we got you covered today. The rest of the year, I'm not sure. But today, we want to bless you and set you apart. But we often equate rest with a nap. But really, rest is not about napping. Rest is about enjoying the presence and the peace of God. About understanding everything in this moment is at peace. Even the Ten Commandments help us see that. Even Jesus, who I mentioned this verse earlier, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wasn't going to offer you a nap and a pillow and a blanket. That's not what rest is about. It can be a part of it, but rest is about trusting in the peace that only God provides. It's about resting in the fact that when I call on my Savior, He's going to give me peace. The book of Philippians tells us that if I make my request known to God, He's going to give me peace that passes all understanding. And so I want to live in that peace. I want to live in that state of rest. That's where I want to live. But not only that, rest allows us to acknowledge God's presence in our life. I want to acknowledge that God is present in my life, not only as creator, but sustainer. I want to look to Him. I want to lean on Him. And so are you experiencing God's peace and presence today? That's what rest is all about. That's what the seventh day is about, set apart and holy. It should be different than the other days of the week. There's a purity to it. There's holiness connected to it. And so when are those times that you are setting your mind and your heart on the holiness of God, the things of God, the things above? Are we doing that, or is it just go, 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 go all the time? Like, my week this last week is your every week. And you've forgotten to rest and you've missed out on the peace and the presence of God? Are you striving to rest and not just get to a point where you get to take a nap? Are you striving to experience the fullness of who God is and longing to enjoy His company? That's what rest is really about. I want to enjoy God's company. I want to enjoy His presence in my life. I want to spend time with God. And if I'm always on the go or I'm always entangled, I'm always frustrated, I'm always running in circles, I can never experience the power and the peace of God. Because I know, just like my week this last week, my life is filled with go. Go all the time. And if you have elementary, middle, high school students, your life is go, go, go. And our world has trained us. Our world has trained us to revolve our lives around their activity. Trained us. And so because the world has trained us and we've bought into it, we don't rest. We're at the dance studio, the ball field, the court, the wherever, the school, the band. I pray for you band folks. Seriously, like that band is like the ultimate commitment. Like we've been trained that should fill our lives. And if we're filling it with all this, we're missing out on moments of rest. Maybe it's your work and it's never ending. Maybe your hobbies. If you're not working, you're not with the kids, you're consumed with a hobby of some kind. And so if you're here today and life never stops, I want to encourage you today to come and say, Lord, make it stop. Help me in this moment to know how to pause, how to rest, how to enjoy your presence, how to receive the peace that only you can offer. If you're here today and you're restless and you're not sure which way to go, maybe life is in circles, you're like the road runner, or any cartoon where they run real fast, like I would love to be able to do this, like my legs move so fast that you can't see them, but I don't go anywhere. That would be an amazing gift. But maybe you feel like that. Like you're just running, 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 but you're not going anywhere. And so you're directionless. You're frustrated. It's like you're constantly surrounded by activity, but you don't see anything getting accomplished. I want to invite you today to experience the rest that God offers. Maybe you're burning the candle at both ends. If you don't understand the illustration, just hold a candle up and try to burn it from both ends. What happens? It burns out. And then your hand gets burned. Like, we live lives today that are filled 7 days a week. And God is calling us to live differently. To live differently than the world. To find those moments of rest. To rediscover my Creator, my Sustainer, my Savior. This is not saying don't work hard. This is not saying invest in your family. It's not saying anything, but find those times by God's pattern, not the world's pattern, by God's pattern that I would pause. And I would soak in and soak up the presence of God in my life. That I would reflect on what He's done and how He's sustained me. I would think back on how He's blessed me over the years. I would raise my Ebenezer as we sang about. Like, I know when He's helped me. And then I look forward to how He's going to keep me going in the days ahead because I have lots to face in the weeks ahead. And so I'm going to pause today to reflect on His goodness. I'm going to pause today to reflect on His presence in my life. I'm going to pause today and receive and be filled by the Holy Spirit, because otherwise I'm just spinning my wheels. I want to invite you today to rediscover rest and to enjoy the power, the presence, the peace of Christ. Will you pray with me?